All right. Good morning, everybody. Anybody got any prayer requests we need to keep in mind while we're praying this morning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sergeant Major, somebody, Lisa's known.
Okay.
Years. He got killed on a motorcycle last night.
Oh, man, sorry to hear that.
His wife and his mother-in-law both lived with him, and they don't understand one's got Alzheimer's and one's got dementia.
That's terrible.
So,
yeah,
still.
Okay, thank you very much. This try to tighten up on my ear. It always feels like it's going to fall off. Randy, can you turn me down just a little bit? That'll give me room to get excited and raise my voice a little bit. It's coming. The excitement is coming. Try to bend this a little bit more. Praise God. Is there anybody else that has any prayer requests before we get started? Good deal. That's a good thing. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you, God, for a Sergeant Major, his mother and father, God, I just ask that you would give them a moment of clarity to understand what's happened with their son. Lord, we pray that he's at home with you. And we pray that they can have comfort and peace in this situation. And God, we pray for anybody else's families who have been affected by this hurricane. Lord, there's people who are just now getting into towns as of this week, and it's been a month. So God, we just pray that every need be met for these people, every comfort that you have to comfort them with, God, that you would do it, that you would send angels to minister about them, Lord, and that they would know that they've been touched by the hand of God. And that they've been seen by you, God, and that you know every need that they have and that you're taking care of it. And Lord, I just pray that your anointing will be upon me as I speak your word today. God, I pray for all of us that we have the heart to have our eyes open and to have a spirit of revelation and wisdom and knowledge upon us. And God, that you would just speak to us in a fresh way, to give us something new today. And just reignite our faith in a special way as we go forward in this study. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, I didn't know I was doing this until like middle of the week, toward the end of the week. So, I had like two days to prepare, and my days right now are already crazy busy. So, I really had about maybe 3 hours, and I usually take weeks to prepare just for 1 week. Anyways, but God is good. I just started taking notes on some scriptures that I like, and something he's been putting on my heart is before the storm come along, something he was dealing with my heart with is storing up your treasures in heaven and not on earth. And then just kind of what that looks like. And then this storm came, and actually it gave me an opportunity to be able to do just that. So, praise God. I hate it for anybody that's been affected, but I am super grateful to see God's people come forward and be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, it's really a blessing. Breaking down all these little walls and barriers and stuff that we have between each other and just getting out there and doing what it takes for it to get done is really awesome. So, yep, praise God. Ed, I think Ed and Debbie Somerville wanted more. Matt. That makes a difference. I put in the notes here, Matthew 6:19-21 is basically where we're starting at, but I'm actually going to go to my Bible here and look I think it's worth going just a little bit further than that. So we're going to read 6:19 through 24. And then most of every other scripture that we're going to refer to is going to be in your study notes there, so you don't have to worry about flipping back and forth. Just if you have your Bible or Bible app, whatever you want to use, if you'll bring up Matthew 6, in that you can keep your thumb there, and then everything else will be on the study notes there, scripture notes. Matthew 6:19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Or another translation says, you cannot serve God and wealth. You can't serve God and money both. You got to pick one or the other. Your interest can't be divided between the two. You have to be all in for one or the other. I'm just going to backtrack a little bit, but this thing about the lamp of the body is the eye. So your eye, whatever you behold, is what's going to come into your body. And it's interesting that it says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light, so anything that comes in through your eye gates, because your eyes and your ears are gateways into your inner man, into your soul. And the light that's coming in, anything that comes in through your eyes is considered light. But if the light that is in you is actually darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, it's like he's saying that if what you think that you're chasing after is a good thing, if you think that you're being focused on what is actually light and it's actually darkness, that's deception. And that's why it's saying that how great is that darkness? Because the light, you think that you're doing something good, you think you're chasing after something good, then he goes on to talk about mammon. You can't serve both God and wealth. So if you're chasing after money and you think this is a good thing, this is the right thing, this is what God wants me to do, he wants me to become wealthy so that I can give away to his people. Look, when we started this thing down here, we put in a little bit of money, went and got people something to eat, started cooking food down there. People brought in just out of nowhere. They're like, "Hey, heard you're feeding people down here." We had a little storage closet. They brought in like a thing of water and a thing of cat food and dog food. Then somebody else like, "Hey, I got something too." Brought in some snacks. Put the snacks down beside that. Third person comes in. They got some diapers. So we got it like stored up in this closet down there where the tables are and stuff. And I'm like, how cool is that? Like, we didn't even ask anybody. You know, we're just trying to feed people down here, but we're trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And then, boom, stuff just starts showing up, right? And I was so thankful for that, I took a picture of it. You know, I'm like, look how cool this is, man. People just started bringing stuff. And little bitty. And now, if you haven't been, you should go down there and look inside the warehouse. God told me when I was down there one day, he said, "I'll bless anything that you put your hands to because you're walking in me. And as fast as you'll give it away, I'll give you more." And as soon as I walked outside, he spoke that to me. And I walked outside. And when I walked outside, here come one truck with a big trailer, two truck with a big trailer, three truck with a big trailer. And I said, "Oh, man." And we done unloaded about four or five trucks, 40-foot U-Hauls and everything else. But it was awesome because God was showing me, if you walk in me, I'll provide every need. I will provide every need. For us to be generous, we don't have to go chasing after money. We don't have to serve mammon to to be generous for God. We chase after God and He will supply every need. We can just be a conduit through which that He flows. Listen, you put out one hand like this and you receive the blessing of God. But if you close this hand to try to hold on to it, then the blessing stops flowing because you can't contain but so much. And we're not meant to be reservoirs. We're meant to be flowing streams of living waters. So you keep this hand open and His blessing flows in, and you keep this hand open to give away what He's given to you, and more and more and more will pour in and pour out of you. That's how the kingdom of God works. If it was I can work really hard and come up with a bunch of money and bless people that way, then you'd be doing it in your own works and you wouldn't need Jesus for that. You wouldn't be relying on God if you could do it in your own strength. Yes.
The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So, yeah. If you're wealthy and all of that, you're going to be responsible. That's
yeah.
Why, you know, it's good to be like in a body.
Amen.
Where someone can actually see what someone's doing, and maybe you're just giving it to swine.
Mm-hmm.
Not here, but you know what I'm saying. You learn how to give more responsibly.
Yeah. We got to be good stewards of what God gives us. But I think, listen, while we've been down there, I know where people's heart is. In our fleshly mind, we think like, all right, we shouldn't give it all away because then what about the next person that has a need? But God has shown me, if you give it all away, I'll give you more. Specifically in this down here. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I do think, too, though, I mean, God's given everyone different talents and skills. And
yeah.
Some people, He's given the ability to make a ton of money for good things. I
mean, mm-hmm.
Their lot in life is, I'll never run in a circle of gazillionaires to be able to share the gospel with them. Those folks will.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But there's people who God has gifted the ability to make a lot of stuff for a lot of stuff, to fund 10,000 people to go on mission trips. Like,
yeah.
A businessman in Greer who, he's 80 years old now, he is like the salt of the earth, lives as humble as can be. And you go into his office, and his treasure that he will show you is like all these different whales that he's dug in other countries. That's his treasure, like you say,
mm-hmm.
is up in heaven. It's not for his own wealth, and it could be. But God's given him that ability to create those resources to go be the hands of people. So I don't know. I don't think that's always bad.
Yeah. So money, that so the point is not chasing after money, not making that your heart's desire, because a lot of people misquote what it says over in Timothy, where it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of people say that money is the root of all evil, but the Bible doesn't say that money in itself is the root of all evil. It actually says that the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil. So it's not the money itself. It's the desire to serve one or the other. And that's what Jesus is saying right here. He said, no one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will despise one and hold to the other. So it's not the money is not the problem. It's the chasing after the money. However, God is showing me, especially with this thing down here, to just give it away. Just give it away. Don't worry about it. Like, seriously, don't worry about it. And the good thing about being able to give if you have finances and giving it away is it's like proving to yourself that this doesn't have a hold on me. Like, the money doesn't have a hold on me. I'm not so scared that if I let go of this money that it's not ever going to return back to me, or that God's not going to meet every need that I have. God met every need I had before I ever had a dollar in my pocket. I'm just being honest with you. I was homeless. I rode a borrowed bicycle to get my first real job. And I didn't have anything. And God met every need that I had along the way. That's how good God is. I didn't have to serve wealth. You know? Yes.
In James 12, it references that. I mean, it does many times in through Scripture, but it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Amen. That's a good word. I love the book of James, full of wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. That's why every day when I wake up and I get ready to start reading this Bible, and before I ever start my day, I ask him for wisdom. Because he says that he'll give it to us generously and without reproach, and it'll be given to us. But let's look back at Matthew 6, 19 through 21. We're going to start digging in here. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this word in the Greek here is cardia. So let me show you this real quick. Where your heart is, in the Greek, what it's saying is cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. Where your treasure is, there your cardia is also. Cardia in the Greek is where we get our root word from. Cardia with a C, which is a suffix to cardiac. Pretty cool, right? That's interesting to me. I love this stuff. So, our word cardia in the English refers to the location and action of the heart, but especially when its function that is expected out of it is irregular or undesirable. That's where it went a little bit deeper for me. The cardia is the location of the heart, and it always refers to it, especially when it's outside of its normal rhythm or normal action or normal location. So when it's not in the right place or when it's not functioning right, that's when we see this word cardia, as in cardiac arrest. In the English, the word always refers to the location and action of the heart, especially when it's undesirable outside the function that is expected. Cardia in the English always refers to the physical heart. But in its original form in the Greek, cardia with a K always refers to the spiritual heart. So what Jesus is referring to is not the physical organ that we feel beating in our chest that pumps blood into our veins and throughout our bodies, but he is referring to is our inner man, our most inner being, which is our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. So in other words, Jesus is saying, whatever you treasure or love, that's what your heart desires will be for, and that's what your mind will gravitate towards. Because the mind controls the will of a man, and so whatever you desire, your mind will find a way for you to obtain it. So if you make something your treasure, this is your heart's goal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you make something your treasure, like I desire to have this in my heart, in your heart, that's really in your mind, will, and emotions. And whatever you have set your mind on, you will find a way to obtain that. Therefore, your life's pursuits will be constantly chasing that thing above all else. So Jesus says, don't store up treasures for yourself on earth where they can be destroyed. Because we know that this life is but a vapor, like the flowers of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow. And we also know that in Hebrews, the writer says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So let's look at Hebrews 12, 26 through 29. It's on the scripture notes there. This is referring to the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness, and Moses would go up on the mountain to speak to God, and there would be lightning and thunder and clouds all around. And, you know, the children of Israel, they were scared to go near it because Moses had told them that if anybody comes near this mountain and they're not clean and they touch so much as touch this mountain, they'll die. It says in verse 26, and his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things. So that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So anything that was created can be shaken. Whatever wasn't created and has always been, it can't be shaken. That's what will remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I think it's important to highlight that last part real quick because we just skip over that a lot of times. We can offer an acceptable service with reverence and awe. That reverence and awe is the same as when it says, in the fear of the Lord. Now, back then in the Old Testament, they were literally terrified of him. And they had good reason to be, because they seen a lot of reasons to be terrified of God. If you so much as touch this mountain, you're not clean. But we've lost a lot of that healthy fear for God because we don't see God as being an all-consuming fire. And I was just thinking about this. I know this will kind of ruffle some feathers a little bit, and I don't intend to do that, but I don't want to hold this back here. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. So, I'm sorry, but this is the truth. You can either be consumed with his fire. Jeremiah said, your word is a fire that will shut up in my bones that I can't contain it. Or the consequence is that you be consumed by the fire. That's why it's important to preach salvation to people. What are we being saved from? The word saved, what are you being saved from? Sozo, you're being delivered from the wrath of God. People need to know that. Not everybody that passes away is going to heaven. So they need to know about Jesus. People are lost and dying without Jesus. Anyways, that was just a little side note there, but focus here is on the kingdom. It says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, so the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. See, he's trying to get us to focus on the kingdom of God, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where your heart is, your mind will find a way to follow. And he wants us to function in his kingdom because the kingdom of this world can be shaken. And everything that you could accumulate in this life from working hard and storing up for yourselves can be shaken and taken away from you. So you could work your whole life and you could store up a bunch of money. And then you might turn around and find out one day that you're too old to even enjoy getting to spend it. I'm going to build up big barns for myself and make sure I got plenty to go inside of each one of them. And he's like, don't you know that tonight your life is going to be asked of you? And then somebody else is going to end up with the treasure that you worked so hard for to get. And you neglected the very things of God when God, he don't need us. He don't need our money. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Everything that he has belongs to us. Think about the prodigal son. He said, my son, you've been here with me the whole time. Everything that I have, it belongs to you. Does he not freely give us all things? All things belong to you if you're in Christ and Christ is in you. That's what the word of God says. So don't waste your time focused on the wrong things. If money comes, praise God. If it don't come, praise God. It's good either way. God is good either way. And I'm cool with or without it. It don't matter to me. It really don't. But the word of the Lord is what endures forever. And his promises are everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. And it can't be shaken, and it can't be taken away from us. That's why it's important to build your house on a firm foundation. Because there's going to be storms in life. And when the winds come and the earthquakes blow us, if we build our life on temporary pleasures, it's like building on sand. The rain torrents come in like a flood and wash that house away. You might store up a lot of money and become wealthy, and God forbid it could happen that you get sick. And no amount of money could fix the problem that you have. You might build your life on your performance and your works, and you enjoy getting the pat on the back. I did a good job. People come up to me and they say, good job. You done a good job, Eric. You done a good job preaching. You done a good job teaching. You're doing a good job down at the... I don't need all that, to be honest with you. I'm doing it for an audience of one. I mean, I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate anybody when their heart's in the right place and they're trying to... But I don't do it for that. You may build your life on your good looks, and one day you look in the mirror and the looks have faded, and so have all the benefits and open doors that once come from your good looks. Hey. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. It happens. The point is that all these things are temporary. Everything is temporary. But all this stuff is temporary, and it can be shaken and taken away from us. But if we build on the rock, that everlasting word of God, that house will last forever, and it'll endure when the storm comes. You know what I love about building stuff? You gotta focus on a load path. From the roof down to the walls, there has to be something to support that roof load down through the wall and then down to the seal plate. The seal plate is bolted down to the block or the brick foundation, and the foundation is concreted to concrete in the earth. And when you're in a hurricane zone or a high wind zone, there has to be extra strapping that ties each one of those levels together. You see what I'm saying? So when you build, you've got to build on the permanent foundation. Man, come on, I don't know, sorry. I guess if y'all was builders, that might hit y'all in a different way, but it hits me. There's got to be a load path. The things that come put the weight down on the roof has to then transfer it through the walls. It goes through the walls, through the floor system into the foundation. And the only one that can really carry the load for us is the one that said, take my yoke upon me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. It's Jesus. He's the one that carries the load. He's the rock that is on the foundation. And that's why we should build our life on him and make him our treasure. Romans 14, 17. So we're talking about his kingdom. What is his kingdom? First of all, let's look and see what it is not. The first part of Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That's why Jesus says back in Matthew 6, 25 and 26, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow nor reap nor gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? So life in the kingdom of God is way more important than just eating and drinking, which represents merely surviving. Let's look back at the last part of that, Romans 14:17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's why back in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So everything that you have need of throughout your entire life, if you will seek after God and seek after the righteousness of his kingdom, he'll add every bit of it to you. And by the way, I may say this every time I read that verse, but I'm so glad that it says, "Seek after his righteousness and not a righteousness of my own." That takes the weight off right there. I'm seeking his righteousness, not mine. And notice that it says all these things that we have need of will be provided when we seek for his kingdom and his righteousness. That means the kingdom of, where the kingdom of God is, there is provision. And he is the one who provides manna for today. Think about the children of Israel. They were to store up manna 6 days, and on the sixth day, they kept enough for the seventh day. But each day, God put out new manna for them that day. When they tried to store up the manna when it wasn't for the Sabbath, what happened to it? It rotted away. But when he told them to store it up on the Sabbath day, then it remained for the next day for them to eat it. That's the importance of being tuned in and keyed into the Spirit of God and doing whatever the Spirit of God says in that moment. Because if he says, "Don't store it up because it's going to get rotted away," you store it up anyways, and then it rots away. But if he tells you to store it up, then you store it up because there may be a time when you need it. God provides every day, and that's why I'm thankful that in Lamentations it says that his mercies are new every morning. One more thing I want to point out about Romans real quick is the order before we move on. It says that first comes righteousness, then comes peace, and then comes the joy in the Holy Spirit. Then it goes on to say that this is our reasonable service to the Lord. We serve the Lord with a heart full of joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if we are in Christ and we are righteous, we have peace with God. Because we have peace with God, we should be full of joy. So he made us righteous. So now that we are righteous with him, we're no longer enemies with God. We can have peace with God. He broke down the dividing barriers that was between us, the sin wall that was up. He tore it down. And so now we can have free access to his presence. And so that should make us full of joy. I'm skipping a little bit here. I know I'm getting closer to the end, so give me just a second. Make sure I'm hitting the important stuff. So my next question was, we talked about what the kingdom of God is, or you call it the kingdom of heaven. But where is it and how do we enter it? When the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven, it is not referring to some far-off place that we enter when we end this life and leave this earth. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And real quick, look at Mark 1:15. "And saying, the time is fulfilled," this is Jesus saying, "the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So you can see it's basically the same verse by two different authors. One of them says the kingdom of heaven, and the other one says the kingdom of God. But it says that they are at hand. It is really loud in here. Really loud. Anyways, 5 minutes here. So first of all, we see that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are used interchangeably. So when Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God, it's the same as saying seek the kingdom of heaven. So where is the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said it is at hand. because he is the embodiment of the kingdom. And while he was walking this earth, he was close enough for a lot of people to see and touch. The kingdom of God is at hand. So let's look at Luke 17, 20 through 21. On the cheat sheet there, it says, "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. Behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst.'" The King James Version says, "The kingdom of God is within you." I like that. The kingdom of God is within you. Real quick, look at Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places," which is where? In Christ Jesus. That's the point that we're getting at here. And by the way, early Greek manuscripts actually say that he has made us alive together in Christ instead of with Christ. He has made us alive together in Christ and has seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the heavenly places are in Christ. And if Christ is in us and we're born again, which is the only way that Christ is in us, if we're born again, Christ is in us, the heavenly places are in us because he's there. Closing, look at Luke 12, 31 through 34. "Seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know why these money belts don't wear out? And you know why the moths can't destroy this treasure? The thieves can't steal it? It's because the unfailing treasure in heaven that we're talking about is in Christ Jesus. And if you truly treasure him in your heart, you will follow him. Whatever light you let into your body, that's what you're going to follow. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So put your treasure in the heavenly places, which is in Christ Jesus, and you will find yourself following him. Look, last thing real quick. If you know that you should have a heart for orphans and widows, but something in you is like, "I just don't have my heart in it," try giving your money to one of these orphanages and do it again month after month after month after month, and let them start sending you pictures of the little orphans that you're helping out, and tell me that your heart don't begin to just wake up in the morning and say, "I wonder how that child's doing. I wonder how they're doing in Africa right now. I wonder how they're doing over here in India or wherever it is." If you put your treasure there, that's where your heart will follow also. So the biggest thing that you can put your treasure in is put it in Jesus Christ, and he will lead you and you will follow him.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for the gathering. Lord, I pray that your word would be sealed inside our heart like you said it would be when the Holy Spirit come inside of us. And Lord, I pray that it would begin to make a change in all of us, God, and that we would see you as the greatest treasure on this earth, and that we wouldn't be focused on the mammon. But if the mammon comes, God, I pray that you give us the wisdom and discernment to be able to steward it well in Jesus' name. And God, I pray for anointing on the service today, for the speaker, for us listening, and for everybody that's worshiping, God. May we enter into your manifest presence in Jesus' name. Amen.